So children, I want to speak to you this morning especially. And I want to speak to you especially this morning because sometimes, you know, sometimes we can think that church is just for adults. And, you know, sometimes adults can think that as well. Just kind of take the children along with us because, and they just have to quiet and sit there. But church is for children as well. Church is for you as well. Sometimes the Bible says things specifically to different people. Sometimes it say things specifically to mums and dads. Sometimes they say things to wives and to husbands. Mr. Storm read some of those in verse 22 of chapter 5. He speaks to wives. And in verse 25 of chapter 5, he speaks to husbands. And we've read as well about servants and masters and fathers. But the Bible also speaks to you, children. And now this sermon is for all of us, but it's for children specifically. When Paul first wrote this, he wrote this letter and he sent it by somebody to the church in Ephesus. And so this person, whoever it was, brought the letter to the church, and when the church was together, maybe a little bit like us, we don't know how they were sitting or what kind of building they were in, but they were sitting there, and somebody read this letter from Paul to the church. And as they read the letter, people heard about chapter 1 and 2 and 3, all about how good God is, how his love for sinners. And then in chapter 4 and 5 and 6, he starts to tell them, and they hear, as they're sitting there, they hear all about how they are to now live because of what God has done for them. But as they listen, suddenly we hear the word children. Listen up. In other words, there were children in the church there as well, as there are children here today. Children belong in church. Children are part of the church. Now you might, children, sometimes you can't understand everything. That's okay. You can ask mum or dad when you get home. And if they didn't understand everything, well, they'll try and explain it the best they can. But you might not be able to understand everything, but as you get older, you'll be able to understand more and more. And this is a reminder for us parents as well. We have to treat we have to be careful not to treat church like it's only for adults. And you know, children won't enjoy it anyway. Let's not send a message to our children that they really are just there to be quiet and they don't really need to enjoy it. Well, I suppose in many ways, church is not, if I can say, it's not fun. At least not fun like the world sees fun, right? Because often we want children just to have fun. But sometimes fun, well, it kind of depends on how you define the word fun. But fun is not always just jumping up and down and making lots of noise and having toys to play. Fun can also be learning and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And so today, especially, I want to speak to your children. Firstly, in this passage, children, if you look at this, those of you who can read, if you have a Bible in front of you, what's the first word in chapter 6, verse 1? It's children, right? So when I ask who is Paul writing to here, or who is God speaking to here, it is to you, children. What is it about you that's important? What kind of children are you? Well, if we go back and a page back in the Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, there we have the Apostle Paul. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In other words, Paul is writing this. He's an apostle. He's writing this. And he says he's writing it to somebody. He's writing it to the saints who are in Ephesus. And the saints who are in Ephesus includes children. And the saints who are in Dunedin includes you, children. Children are also part of the church here in Dunedin. Now here I want to say something. I have to be careful how I say it, so please hear me out. But part of our Western culture, and so this is for all of us, part of our Western culture has emphasized this idea of being born again. This is a vital emphasis, because it is very easy to be a Christian and live your life in the church and think, look, I've been in the church all my life, therefore I'm going to heaven. No, we must be born again. Jesus said that to Nicodemus, somebody who had everything right. He'd lived his whole life in the church, just like your children. You know, they were brought up in the life of the church. He learned his catechism. He learned the Bible. He learned all these things. And Jesus says, that's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. So in other words, the Holy Spirit has to change our hearts. But it is possible to so overemphasize this that we forget the covenant relationship that God has made with children and with believers and their children. Children who are born to parents who love the Lord enter into this covenant relationship with the Lord. In other words, the Lord says to you children, you are mine. I am your God. You are my children. Now, when the people of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they had to walk through the desert. Remember, they went through the Red Sea. They had to walk through the desert. And they came to Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, God spoke to them. And audibly, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, which is something I often emphasize here in church when we read the Ten Commandments, right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, God says, I am the Lord your God. He's saying to all the people of Israel there, I am the Lord your God. Put you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and then he gives us Ten Commandments. And sometimes children, I'm sure, I know I did when I was younger, oh, it's the Ten Commandments. So we kind of just switch off, right? I've heard that before. Don't need to listen to that. Mum and Dad, I hope Mum and Dad are listening because they better listen to it. But, you know, I can turn off. But as we go through the Ten Commandments, we get up to Commandment 5. And what does God say? He doesn't say the word children, but he's speaking to children, isn't he? He's speaking to everybody, but specifically to children. Honor your father and your mother. In other words, all those people that are there, they're part of God's covenant community, including the children. And we've already read this morning the story of Jesus in the New Testament when the disciples want to bring the mothers want to bring the children to Jesus. And the disciples say, you know, I mean, Jesus is quite busy. And this whole Christian thing, it's not for children. I mean, children can't understand yet. You know, you guys just kind of stay there at the back somewhere, and us important people, we'll hang around Jesus. It's important for us to hang around Jesus. And Jesus was indignant. He's angry at his disciples because he says to them, let the little children come to me. Now, we've already seen this morning, part of what Jesus is saying there is, you must be like a child. You must humble yourself. And just be like a child and trust and depend on Jesus. But he's also saying, children, you come to me. Children, you can come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And so what I'm saying is, when Simon was baptized this morning, baptism did not make Simon a Christian. It didn't change his heart. The Holy Spirit does that. But in baptism, God is, as it were, putting a sign on him. And he says, Simon, you are mine. I am your God. Now, live for me. Live for me. Now, Simon can't fully understand that yet. And some of your children can't fully understand that yet either. But you have to listen to what mum and dad say, because they will teach you what it looks like or how you live for God. In other words, one thing that God is saying in baptism, one of the things that God is saying in baptism, is that you are not your own. You are not your own. You belong to another. Now, how are you going to live? And this goes for all of us, right? How are we going to live if we do not belong to ourselves, but we belong to God? What is that going to look like when we are playing with our neighbors, when we are at work, when we are at school, when we're playing with our brothers and sisters? If you are not your own, if you can't just if you don't just belong to yourself, but you belong to God, how do you live? How do you act? Well, you act the way God wants you to act. You act the way that your Father in heaven, who loves you, allowed you to be brought and born into this family, how he wants you to live. And so it's important that as parents, we teach this to our children. It's important that we live like this ourselves as well, isn't it? Parents, grandparents, everybody. It's important that we live not as our own, but as those who belong to another. But also it is important that we teach our children that they belong to someone. They are called to live like this. Whose are we is a vital question. Now, all of us children, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe what Jesus has done for us. But we do that in a certain way by listening to our parents, which is our second point. What are you to do? So our passage starts off with children. And what's the next word? Obey. Obey your parents in the Lord. Right, children? Children, obey your parents. And then in verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Two things that children are called to do. Obey and honor. Honor and obey. Now, children, this is hard to do, isn't it? When I was a child, I found this very hard to do. And I'm sure you find it hard to do as well. And it's not just when we're little children, it's also when we're big children. We find it hard to honor and to obey. And even when we are big, big children, as in adults, we find it hard to obey at times as well. Now, we kind of like to be our own boss. That's kind of our nature. We kind of like to do things ourselves. So when mom and dad tell us something, you know, don't do that, we kind of think, why not? It looks good to do that. Don't have that second biscuit. This is for husbands as well. Don't have that second biscuit. And we think, well, that second biscuit looks nice, and I think I like it, so I think I'll take it. Because, I mean, does she really know what's best for me? I think that biscuit looks pretty good for me. It's something that started way back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Because way back in the Garden of Eden, God had said, you can eat to Adam and Eve. You can eat from all the trees in the garden. They're all yours. Just not this one. Do not eat it, because in the day you'll eat it, you will die. And Satan comes up to them and says, it's really not that bad. You will not die. In fact, you will be like God. You will not be someone else's master. You will be your own master. And so they took and they ate. And that's what we do, don't we? Not only take and eat, but we want to be our own boss, our own master. We don't want to have somebody over us. But you see, God knows what's good for us. Just like he knew what was good for Adam and Eve, he knows what's good for us. He gives us parents who are wiser than us, who know better than us. We might think they don't, but maybe I can give an illustration. Little Simon, he can't quite understand, so we can make a little illustration out of him as he's there in the back of the church. But he needs a bath every now and then, because baths are good for little children. If you don't give little children a bath, after a while they start to stink and little germs grow on them and they get sick. Okay, so a bath is good. But Simon, he's nice and warm in his clothes, and it's a bit cold outside of his clothes, and mum starts to take his clothes off because he has to have a bath. And does Simon understand that it's good for him? Well, not really. And you can tell that he doesn't understand by his crying, because he quite likes it in his nice warm clothes. But sometimes we need to get cold to get warm, to go in the bath, to wash ourselves so we can have nice new clothes on, so we can be clean. Now Simon screams, and I assume he screams. Maybe he doesn't always scream. He screams when he has to have a bath or when his clothes are taken off him because he doesn't know it's good for him. But we know it's good for him. He's too small to understand. And most of us are too young children. We're too young to understand everything. But mum and dad know best. At least they know better. And God has said, I'm going to give you parents who love you, parents who take care of you. Now I want you to honor them and to listen to them, even when you don't fully understand. Maybe you know the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old. He went to the temple with his parents. And his parents went back home, and Jesus was still in the temple, but they didn't know it. And when they found out that Jesus wasn't with them and with his friends, they came back, and it took them 3 days to find Jesus, and they found him in the temple. And his mother, Mary, said to Jesus, "Don't you know how concerned we've been?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know that I should be about my Father's business?" Who knew better, Jesus or his mother? Well, in this case, it was Jesus, wasn't it? It's not usually that way. It's usually the other way. But because it's Jesus, this case it was Jesus. But what does it say? He submitted himself to them. I'll read it. It says, "And he went down with them to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them." So even Jesus was willing to be submissive to his parents, even though he was without sin and they were with sin. This can be hard, but God says it is right, and therefore it is good. So children, obey and honor. Thirdly, what does God promise you? Okay, if I have to do this, what does God promise you? Well, God promises you something here in these verses. This is the first commandment promise. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, that verse is going back to the Old Testament where God said in the Ten Commandments that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Those people were on their way to Canaan, and they were about to receive the promised land, Canaan. Now, we're not on the way to Canaan, and we're not about to receive an inheritance in the land of Canaan. But that verse, it's a phrase which means and which is related to the blessing that God gives. In other words, God says, children, when you honor and obey mum and dad, you will be blessed by God. You will have peace. There will be harmony and fruitfulness in your life. Now, this happens by receiving blessings from God, receiving spiritual blessings, I should say, from God. And so that means, children, that means receiving spiritual blessings means that we will grow in our love for God. When we honor and obey mom and dad, we will grow in our love for God. We will grow in our knowing about God and serving God in the right way. And it will be good for us. It will be very good for us. Not just what we think is good, but what is actually good for us. Now, there will be physical blessings as well. If you can learn to obey mum and dad when you're young, you can learn to obey your teachers, you can learn to obey your bosses, and when people obey and do their work, they will get jobs, they will be promoted, and those kind of things. So there are physical blessings as well, and this is a whole different subject. But specifically, there are spiritual blessings for those who honor and who obey mum and dad. Finally, as we come to a close, I want to say something that's not necessarily in the passage, but it is implied. There is a danger that all covenant children experience. So it's a danger that children, this is a danger that you will have. You will be taught, and for adults, we know this as well, you will be taught about God. And you'll be taught about the Bible. And maybe you'll go to catechism classes. And you'll have lots and lots of great privileges of being of growing up in a home where your parents love God and where they want to serve Him. And the danger is that you'll know all these things and you'll think, you know, I'm a pretty good boy or girl. I'm much better than little guy down the street, my neighbor down the street. I think I'm pretty good. That's why God likes me. I'm pretty good. This was the Apostle Paul's problem before he became a Christian. He says in Philippians chapter 3, I was a Jew, I was a Benjamite, I was a Pharisee, I did all these wonderful things for God. And then when God met me on the road to Damascus, I realized all was, in a sense, it was all rubbish. If the Apostle Paul had taken those things and thought, you know, if I do this right, then God will love me. Well, God basically said to him, that's no good. What you need, first and foremost, is to believe in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Because you children here, adults here, myself, we're all sinners. We need a Savior. We need the Lord Jesus to save us, to forgive our sins, to wipe our sins clean, to take our sins on Himself and to take it to the cross. What we don't want you children to grow up with is to think that you can, as long as you live the right way, then you'll be okay. Because you're going to fall into sin. And many of us, when we're a bit older, we've experienced this. We fall into sin. And we think, now we've grown up all our lives living a certain type of life, the right lifestyle, and we fall into sin, maybe deep sin. And we wonder, how on earth could I have done such a bad thing? And so we hide our sins from mom and dad. We hide them from our friends, from our elders, from God. Because we do not every day remind ourselves that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And we've become, and then we start to live such a life of guilt and burden, and we don't know how to get rid of it. Because again, we haven't gone daily to the Savior for a forgiveness of our sins. The way we live our lives, children, the way we live our life every day is to repent of our sins and to look to Jesus for our forgiveness, and then to live a life for Him, then to live a life of honoring and obeying. What we don't want in this church or in Christendom in general, we don't want churches full of little Pharisees, or big Pharisees for that matter. We want churches full of those who know they're sinners, who look to Jesus every day for the forgiveness of our sins. And so children, when you don't obey mom and dad, you know what you can do? You go to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins. You confess your sins to Him. You tell mom and dad, I've been wrong. I'm sorry. And know that Jesus does forgive your sins because He died for you. So, children, you are the Lord's. Live like you are the Lord's. Obey your parents because it will bring rich blessings. And when you don't, turn to Jesus. Repent of your sins and know you've been forgiven. Let's pray. Our gracious God, how we need this. Whether we are children here or adults, Lord, we desperately need the gospel, the simple gospel every day. Would you impress this on the hearts of each of our children here this morning? Some are able to understand lots, others very, very little. But Lord, you are a God who by your Spirit works mightily and powerfully. Would you do that this morning? Lord, we pray that you would impress this on the adults among us. That we might go to the Savior day after day and find the joy of forgiveness and the joy of knowing whose we are. And we pray that as we go from here, we might live in joyful delight because of what you've done. So do this work by the power of your Spirit this morning. Lord, we need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.